It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Happy International Left-Handers Day. If you're not lefty, you're dumb. How you doing, Will?
Oh, fuck you.
I'm lefty.
All the righties. I went to Dodger game.
How was it?
The other night. I mean, look, I love going to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
But Dodger fans are kind of idiots.
Explain.
I'll explain. See, I've been growing up a Yankee fan, go to Yankee Stadium all the time. Everything's fine. I mean, fans get rowdy, but never so crazy. 9 out of 10 Dodger games I've been to, and I think I've only been to 10.
Okay.
There has been police activity in my section.
Maybe if you just bought better seats.
This was Loge.
Oh.
Loge should be fine.
Well, that's a Latin for classy.
That is. These fans, I think they're more interested in drinking and yelling than watching the nuances of baseball.
So what you're telling me is that Dodger fans aren't exactly connoisseurs of the great American pastime.
No, and I take on any Dodger fan on knowledge of baseball.
I don't think you want to take on any Dodger fan on anything. They will cut you.
I was afraid that my mother, she's a Mets fan, and I took her to the game because they were playing the Mets, and I was afraid the Dodger fans would put her in a coma in the parking lot.
Was she wearing her Mets stuff?
No.
That was a wise decision.
But she was openly cheering. So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, same old road to 237. Actually, we're making good progress. Keep those Facebook likes, those iTunes stars. Subscribe by subscribing and putting star ratings. That's how other people find the podcast.
So subscribe, people. We haven't been pushing you on that for a while, but we're going to start.
What do you mean? We said we push them every week.
Not on the subscription to the iTunes ratings. We push Facebook. Fuck Facebook. I'd rather have 237 star ratings.
Okay. Yeah, so do that, people. And I think that's all that's going on right now. It's just we're recording on an off night, so that's what's going on right now.
That's what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast. What's our sponsor this week?
This week is brought to you by Audible.com for people too busy or lazy to read. There's Audible.com.
I think people are too lazy to even get Audible.com at this point.
It seems like every fucking podcast is sponsored by Stamps.com and Audible.com. They're single-handedly keeping the podcast industry afloat.
On the show today, find out why I can't watch a lot of television. Also, meat. I love it, but will I eat any kind of meat? And the enemy, my eyes have been open to this week's enemy. It's something I knew, but my eyes have truly been open this week, and we're going to get to that for you animal lovers out there. But first, we are very excited to have with us today, after a busy day of working and in between another busy day of working for her, so we're thrilled to have her, Shannon Roosevelt Finley.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Is it morning?
It's not morning at all. It's late at night. And thank you so much for planning on doing this on an off day at the last minute for me so we could actually get together.
I know that your schedule can sometimes be a little finicky, so you know, whenever we could grab you for an hour, I'm glad it worked out.
Well, me too.
Maybe we should get into why your schedule is so crazy, because you are hard at work, you are working, you are a model.
I am. I'm a model and an actress.
A model and an actress. So how does one get into this line of work? Besides being obviously beautiful, it can't just be as simple as that.
It kind of can, honestly. I've been modeling. Yeah, I've been modeling and acting since I was about 9 years old. And I literally would walk to school in the mornings, like in elementary school. I'd walk to school and I would have agents and modeling agents and whoever stopping me on the street, asking me if they could represent me, asking me if I was actually a model, if I was working, if they could get me work.
How old were you at this time?
9.
And this wasn't weird?
It was weird.
Yeah, okay.
But at least they were asking to get me work instead of asking to marry me.
Well that would have been even weirder.
If this was Saudi Arabia, it would be a different
it
story,
happened
though.
A lot.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, on the streets of Los Angeles.
Wait, on the streets of Los Angeles, so you grew up here in Los Angeles?
I did. Yeah.
And people would propose marriage to you at 9? Just random men on the streets?
It was very strange to me as well. I would literally, I'd just be walking to school. It's about a mile from where my mom used to live to my school, which is a Jewish private day school.
Represent.
And, you know, I'd pass by everything from flower shops to synagogues and whatever. And on occasion, there would be some random man who would walk outside and literally get down on a knee and propose marriage to me. And this happened more times than... I think it happened 12 times by the time I was 9.
Well, this happened to me too growing up in L.A. This didn't happen to you
in
Long Island.
Back on Long Island, no one tried to marry children. No one proposed marriage. So
we're progressive. What can I say?
That's true. I've always That is true about California.
You you moved down here so you can marry children.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I came here.
So did you start out primarily doing print work or...
Really into theater and into acting, and I love it. But yes, I do a lot of print work, and that's sort of my bread and butter, just because that's what is more available and accessible. There's only this many parts, this tiny number of parts for women in Hollywood, in movies, in soap operas, in all of the different possibilities for acting. And there's a lot more options for doing... magazine editorials, advertisements, billboards, like who knows? There's tons more stuff in that avenue.
So people think that, okay, so you're a model, so you just show up and you just have to look pretty. But I know it's a lot more work than that. It's a lot harder. Any myths you want to debunk?
It is a lot more work. Yeah. It is a lot harder. It takes a lot of time. I mean, let's begin with what every girl has to do every single day to... keep up their own general appearances. Like, we don't look like this all the time. It takes work. It takes effort. You have to go and get your hair done, your nails done. You do it yourself. That still takes time. I put on, like, I've actually been counting this, 4 different face creams every morning, and I put on 5 at night. Like, I don't know why.
Honestly, that sounds exhausting to me. That sounds like an exhausting.
The fact that I have a serious skincare regimen, like you don't expect that that's how much it takes, but it's literally half an hour just to like lube myself up after I take a shower.
The fact that I have to shave every other day bothers me. So
every other day? Are you kidding
well,
me?
Well, just clean my neck up.
I gotta shave almost everything.
So okay, so you have to go through a big beauty regiment, and you have to do it more often maybe than a lot of other people because your job requires it. But I guess I'm still a little foggy on what was it, or what do you think, or what did they say to you that they picked out you as a young person, where they said, because you weren't putting on at 9 5 different facial creams to keep up a beauty regimen. So what do you think it was about you that caught someone's eye in particular?
I honestly don't know what it is about me that's caught so many people's eyes.
Your charisma.
I am very appreciative of it, though. I'm very lucky. A lot of people tell me I'm naturally beautiful, which I am very thankful for, because I love to not wear makeup if I don't have to.
Same here.
It's rough, right? Makeup again. That's a whole
extra
thing.
Screws my skin up.
That, too.
Yeah, Sean is always complaining about his clogged pores from the makeup.
I'll give you some stuff.
Okay, good. I might have to put 5 things on every night for
you. You might have to, yeah.
Well, yeah, I do what I have to look the way I do.
There you go.
You have to wear a mask.
That's what it takes. You have to just accept that this is part of what life is.
I gotta ask.
Thanks,
you,
Dad.
I gotta ask you another modeling misconception, then, or maybe not. How about like diet-wise? Because you hear these crazy. I just saw a crazy interview a while back where someone was talking about like, yeah, no, they have to. I know lots of models who are eating cotton balls after they dunk them in orange juice. Like, this was somebody said this in an interview. I forget who it was. Some model. Like, I mean, are they like really like... What do they eat?
I am very, very lucky. I don't diet in any way. I don't do anything I don't want
to do. Just see what you ate for dinner.
Yes, I just ate pasta bolognese for dinner.
It looked delicious.
It was quite good. I believe in moderation. Don't do anything too extreme. Consider what you're doing to yourself. Like, I love sugar. I really, really do. I love chocolate. I love candy. I go crazy for it. I just acknowledge that that's not necessarily the best thing in the world for me. So I eat it in moderation, and it's usually a reward or something. And then more than that, I make a point of working out a lot. I love the way it feels. Yeah. I love what it does to my body. Why would I not want to keep doing that?
See, I'm the exact opposite. I would rather eat bland and boring and just not have to work out.
I don't believe in bland anything. Spicy's where it's at.
I'm the third option of I don't eat in moderation and I don't work out. This is also why
I think we should flash forward in 40 years and see where we all end up.
This will be good. This will, I'll tell you what, I'm going to live outlive you all. That's the way
it goes.
I don't
know about that one.
That's the way it goes. It's always that asshole who's like, I eat Taco Bell every day for 50 years.
And smoke 3 packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, it's always that guy. I don't smoke. I drink whiskey and lots of it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Something we all have in common.
Hey,
this
now,
is
there
true.
You go.
We can all be, yeah. Okay. So I know the one thing that you've talked about is you got to the point where you've gotten tired of showing up at shoots where you've just had to deal with stupidity, and so you've made it a point to get more involved with the production of the shoots, whether it's the camera work or the costuming or the locations. Can you talk a little bit about that, about what goes into sort of conceptualizing? I'm thinking more of like a print shoot.
Well, that's it sort of depends on what it is. Yeah. There are a lot of things that, especially jobs that I go on, that I do not have any control.
Right.
And I appreciate the people who keep things moving and the producers who really get things going and make sure that we're efficient. But I really like the idea of becoming an art director because I come up with the ideas too. You know, I get there on set, and while someone has the basic concept that they came up with, once we get there and I'm made up and hair is done and I'm in my outfit, then it's kind of a lot about me and the photographer and how we mesh together. Mm-hmm. And it's me thinking up, what cool pose am I going to do? What's going to be different and unique about this shot that's going to make it epic instead of just the same old boring thing that you see all the time? So I've gotten more involved where I will actually come up with the concept. I'll put the crew together. So whether or not I have to do the styling myself or I find someone else who wants to collaborate with me and actually get involved in that. Same thing for hair and makeup, find a photographer. And we all sort of get together and discuss it. Kind of, it's majorly a collaboration
right.
for me. I'm all about getting my friends who are also creative together to participate. Otherwise, it's really not fun. Who wants to be a part of something where you're literally being told what to do all the time?
Where you just plugged in, you're like, okay, stand there, look pretty.
Exactly.
Don't talk to the actors.
Right.
Or don't talk to anyone.
Have some create. Make it a truly creative process for everyone.
Okay.
Now, you were talking about acting a couple of times. So what are some of the things you did? Well, I know, one, you've been on True Blood this season.
I have been on True Blood this season.
You're one of the, like, Lilith ghost spirit vampire. What is it? Because I watch the show. I think it's a fun, just when they really embrace the blood and the sex and stuff, then it's a really fun show, which your character is very bloody and sexy. You're one of these visions that Bill has.
I'm a siren. That's my technical name.
That's a technical name. Okay, yes. I wasn't sure.
So I'm a siren, and much like Lilith throughout the seasons previously, I'm naked, covered in blood.
Yes.
Lilith no longer, as of this season, she doesn't actually appear in their regular universe. She's not on the same plane anymore, so now he has to go to her in some sort of different spiritual plane, basically.
And for people who don't know, Lilith is the original vampire. She's like
of
the
course.
Adam and Eve of vampires, and she was she's the vampire god, and now Bill last season had drank her blood.
I'm sorry, can I just step back here? We have Lilith, the vampire god, who's in a relationship with Bill.
No, they're not in a relationship.
No,
oh, okay.
He drank her blood, and now he has become part Bill, part Lilith, so he is also
Billith.
Potentially... Yes.
Yes.
He's potentially a vampire god as well. And there are two other girls who are also sirens, and we come as visions to Bill, and maybe we attack him, maybe we just take him away. Who knows how that all really works? But we lead him to Lilith whenever she wants to talk to him or he wants to talk to her. And, you know, there may be more to the story.
I'm very
curious. Is the season over or there's still a few more episodes?
There's still one more episode. The season finale will be this weekend. If you're listening to the podcast on the weekend it comes out, it's this Sunday night.
Excellent.
Now,
what was the process going through just to put all that shit on? Because it looks intense.
It's a lot of fun. It's something I actually really enjoy doing. It's not my first time doing body painting or special effects makeup or anything like that. So I had a great time doing it. And I'm also kind of that gothy, weird girl who really loves things like blood and guts and gore. Like, Halloween is my favorite holiday.
I mean, if you haven't seen, she is covered from head to toe in blood. And I've seen some pictures that you've tweeted out of your cover, and it looks fucking fantastic.
Thank you. My makeup artists are really amazing, so bravo to them, because I literally, honestly, I stand there.
Yeah.
I stand with my arms out and legs out,
you.
And they paint me. So first step is I walk in completely with nothing on, right? Walk into the makeup room. They paint our entire bodies red. And then that dries and everything. And then right before we're going to go to set, they actually literally cover us with special effects blood. And then we get a whole layer of like KY jelly or something like that to make it really shiny and get rid of any sort of fingerprints and finger marks and things like that. And then it's just really shiny, really brand new looking blood. And then I have to be constantly kept wet.
Okay.
They have spray balls. They have to be spraying us down at every
turkey.
Given moment, because as soon as it starts to dry, it's really like blood, and it starts to congeal and get like blood booger kind of thing all over your body. And then if it gets even past that point, it is hard and it is crusty, and it's like ripping a crusty Band-Aid off your whole body kind of thing, right? So you have to stay wet the entire time, especially during shooting.
Okay, okay.
That sounds terrible. And how long does
it's
it take to get off?
Funny.
How long does it take to get off? To remove the makeup.
We take a shower. As soon as we finish whatever we're doing, the scenes that we're doing, we'll take a shower there, on the stages or something. And on average, I'd say that takes each of us girls about half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on whether or not we have, a loofah or not.
Or nothing. You're just using toilet paper
right,
to scrub it.
Like scraping it off, trying to get it down. And then it gets stuck in the bottom of the shower, and it's just gross.
Do you find it? Because once, I know this is totally different, but once I found myself in a pool of Jell-O, it's a long story. And the next day, I had showered twice, and I still found some, in my ear and stuff like that. So you have blood
forever.
Okay.
So after I get off set and I get home, I have to shower again so that I can really get a good majority of it off and scrape and everything. But then I will be honest, and you can totally find this in my tweets, I will find blood in my ears, in my nose, in any kind of orifice randomly for a week afterwards.
Please consult a doctor.
It's pretty funny to me that I'm just like, okay, well, I have some little something in my belly button. Okay, that's
saving
great.
That for later.
Now, obviously, you can't tell us what happens in the finale, but, I mean, will we be seeing the sirens next season?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay, because I'm very curious what's going to happen to Bill. In this. How's I mean, most of your scenes are with Stephen Moyer, the actor. How's he to work where he's been...
Oh, he's amazing. He's just such a dream. He's actually been really involved in this season of True Blood. He was producing, directing, as well as starring in it. So he's been a really major part of this season of True Blood. And he's just been such a delight to work with. He's really sweet and really fun. And, behind the scenes, we'll be taking pictures because he's like, I'm so sorry, you guys. You must be cold. You must be wet. Let's take a couple pictures.
I'm trying to think, because you're always in his visions. Have you worked with any of the other regulars?
We have been on set with some of the others, but as you've seen in the show so far, they're not really supposed to recognize us or see us.
On this week, Jessica, kind of walked through you guys.
Right.
So
for the moment, we could still just be visions. Who knows?
I feel there's some surprises coming.
I have no idea what any of this is.
The storyline has definitely not ended. And if it were up to me, Bill would sort of take over in Lilith's god position. And we'd just become Bill's bitches and do his bidding.
You got to get t-shirts that say Bill's bitches.
I would love to get some t-shirts
with a picture
with a picture
of the three of you, just with like a medium shot, the three of you. It's Bill's bitches.
Honestly, that's a great product that they should be selling. They should be selling.
You hear that, HBO? Get on it.
So before we move on to our topics of the week, where can people find out more about you? Where can they keep up to date on everything you're doing?
Everything Shannon. I am big on social media, so I'm very active. I have a Tumblr if you want to see some of these pictures from True Blood, and that's where you get to see all the nudie shots. It's my name is spelled funny, so it's chanonrf.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And that's Shannon is pretty much my handle for everything, because that's my actual name, and it's pretty unusual. Nobody else spells it that way.
So you're able to get the at Shannon with the C.
I got the at Shannon, C-H-A-N-O-N, for Twitter. I'm at Shannon, C-H-A-N-0-N, for Instagram, and I'm crazy about posting pictures, so that's probably my most active avenue. And then I also, of course, have a Facebook, which is facebook.com/Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, Shannon, C-H-A-N-O-N.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already checked out all, you've been to the Tumblr, you're following her on Twitter, because we have a link to all that on our Facebook.
And one last thing I want to mention is that you are also, you do a lot of music reviews. And every Tuesday, you dig in on the new music. And if you want to read some great music reviews, you want to find new stuff, Shannon's your go-to girl. She posts reviews of things you never heard of. You go, I got to check this out now. Or maybe I don't have to, because she did the work.
Thank you. Yes, I'm huge on music. It's totally my passion. And I love introducing my friends and other people to new music that they never would have thought of listening to or never would have found on their own. So that's part of what I do. And it's all on my Facebook page.
Well, then it's good for us that we have literally no music topics on the show this week. But let me ask you this. You're on TV. You watch a lot of TV?
I don't.
Well, your hectic schedule.
Yes, I don't actually own a TV.
So my question of do you have cable would be moot.
Yes, I do not have cable.
Well, I do have cable. And I have Time Warner Cable. And we didn't talk about this the last 2 weeks. So I figured this would be over with. This wouldn't be happening. But there's this feud going on between CBS and Time Warner Cable, and if you live in New York City and Los Angeles, the only two cities that matter anyway.
Chicago flares up every now and then.
Occasionally. Flare, you take
like a hemorrhoid.
You get rid of that. You no longer get, on Time Warner Cable, you no longer get CBS, Showtime here in Los Angeles, you don't get KCAL 9, you couldn't watch the Dodger game tonight.
No, legally.
How long will this shit go on? This happens every once in a while. They're like, we're taking away all your networks. How long will this
go on? Well, here's basically what's happening is that CBS, they create the content. They say, Time Warner, we have all these channels, all these shows. Pay us for our content. And Time Warner says, we can only pay you so much because if we pay you more, we now have to start passing these costs on additionally to the end user. And it's going to get to this point where cable's going to get so expensive that people are going to start making decisions as to whether or not it's worth paying for all these channels.
Isn't it already so expensive?
It's already so expensive, and it's getting more
so. It's already ridiculously expensive, so which is part of the reason why I don't own a TV anymore, and I don't have cable, and this has been for many years now. Yeah. But it's actually kind of a great thing, I think, because this is going to lead more and more people to getting rid of cable TV. You don't need it anymore. With the advent of Netflix and HBO Go and whatever other things you can possibly get, you don't need to have cable TV. You can have the on-demand features. You can go online and look at NBC.com, CBS.com, and watch the shows there. Why do you need Time Warner?
A few interesting things. So if you use Time Warner for internet, let's say I canceled my cable and I have the internet, and I say, okay, I'm going to go to CBS.com and watch Two and a Half Men. You cannot, because they've also canceled CBS content on Time Warner Cable internet.
Well, that was CBS's move. CBS said, well,
I was going to say, that's a really big thing to actually take away. You're censoring what I'm allowed to look at on my internet? Are you kidding me?
So even with what you're saying, with you could go watch shows online, because I don't watch any CBS shows, because CBS shows are for old people.
That's not true.
But I started watching that stupid Under the Dome because I like Stephen King, and it's not that good of a show. But I kept watching because it's the summer and there's not much on. And now I can't watch it now, and I'm not going to revisit it. And, you know, you're losing viewers.
So one of the other options that they talk about, they always say, what if we had a la carte system? So let's say you got a TV and you said, okay, you know what? I only watch Fox. I only watch HBO. I only watch, I don't know, NBC, and that's all I want to pay for. They can't do that because they always threaten they're going to do this.
It sounds like a great idea, but it actually doesn't.
The pricing doesn't work out. The only way these things – so for example, right now you pay a couple bucks in your cable bill to get ESPN. But if you just wanted ESPN, it would probably cost you 25 to 30 bucks a month just for ESPN because Disney has to offer you ABC and Disney Channel and ESPN and all their whole suite of channels to make it worth it to do this. So I don't know what's going to happen here.
All of our cable's a pipe dream.
All I'm saying is, are we going to be able to watch the Emmys at your place or is it going to be a problem?
I think this will be resolved by the Emmys. Will this be resolved by the time football season starts?
Because football really dictates what the hell happens in this country. I think if it's not fixed by football season, there's going to be problems.
I think there already are problems.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
Well, right now it's just like Dodgers and Under the Dome, but if
I don't
know
that we're that excitable, at least not here in L.A., but it's...
Well,
we
don't have a football team.
Exactly.
If we had a football team...
But in New York, if you said they couldn't watch the Giants or the Jets...
That'd be huge.
They're going to burn some shit down. It'll be 9/11.
No,
it'll just
New
be
York.
A... Not New York, where else?
You know, those asshole Patriot fans, maybe. They'll burn the city of Boston.
But again, this is just more likely than not a way of, I don't know, getting rid of Time Warner Cable completely. Like, they can just be excluded from the options. And now you're going to start going to DirecTV or satellite something or any other option other than them.
And if you have Time Warner Cable,
tweet at them.
Call them and yell at them. And just keep yelling at them, and they will lower your bill. If you have, trust
me,
I know this.
It's true.
I call them, I keep calling them, and they're like, well, you know, we can knock a little bit. They say, well, we can't do. No, they, you know, so.
They want to keep your business.
I may have to call them tomorrow.
They have to.
Yeah, no, seriously, call them and
email,
just say.
Email, call, Twitter, Facebook,
all
of it.
Say DirecTV a lot when you're on the phone, and it'll.
I'll bitch I couldn't see the Dodgers tonight, so.
Well, you know, if this happened, say, in February, and let's say it was NBC, people might not get to see the Olympics.
That was a rough segue.
Awful segue. And the Olympics, the Winter Olympics come back. Everybody tolerates the Winter Olympics with their skiing and their figure skating.
And curling.
Who doesn't love curling?
Everybody does.
Listen, any sport where a 6.5-month pregnant woman can compete and win a gold medal is not a sport.
It's kind of a sport.
It's a game.
It's a game.
How's that any different than, like, chess?
I have no idea.
The Olympics have not come, and I'm sure we'll talk about them when they start up. But the IOC, when they decided...
Well, International Olympic Committee.
Yes.
Yes.
When they decided where the Olympics would be, and they picked Russia, and they picked...
Sochi, a city I never knew existed.
Yeah.
I had to look it up on the map.
It's a really cold place in Russia. I guess they didn't foresee certain problems, say certain human rights issues that go on in a country like Russia. And the big thing has been going on about how Russia has very strict anti-gay laws, so there goes all the male figure skaters. Like, they basically said, they better not flaunt their homosexuality in public, we will arrest them. They've basically said this. Now, I don't think they really will do this because they want to get the Olympics again down the road at some point, I'm sure.
But it's going to be like 40 years away. How often are they going to come back to Russia?
So you're saying that because they're wearing sparkly outfits, they're going to be arrested, even though it's not like it's their choice as a figure skater to choose their costume? That's like the coach. That's the country. There's a lot of other people
involved.
Well,
then arrest the coach.
Arrest the coach! I mean, what are you going to do? Arrest everybody in the Olympics and in freaking just in the audience? Like, really?
Well,
no, the performer. Well, the performers, the athletes.
They're even saying people who just come. Like, let's say I was gay and I.
Exactly.
Let's say me and Sean were a gay couple and we went to Russia and we're like walking past the Kremlin holding hands. They could arrest us, you know? This is like the warning to people. Now, a lot of people have been... First, people said we should boycott them. No, we can't. We're not boycotting the Olympics.
We did it in Moscow in 1980.
We shouldn't have done it then, either. And the issue is, I mean, but do you think something like this should call for a boycott? Because a lot of people have been putting forth petitions of, like, move it back to Vancouver. They have the facilities. They could just, they could, because I guess in Vancouver they could magically get the Olympics.
Turn the lights on.
But, I mean, do you think that's a big enough reason to boycott the Olympics as a nation because of their treatment of homosexuals?
I think their treatment of homosexuals is unacceptable, but isn't that part of the reason that maybe the Olympics decided to go to this very unknown place?
Because Russia.
No one else in the world knows anything about what's going on in Russia right now. And this is really opening the eyes of everyone else in the world saying, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. That's not okay. What are you people doing? Are you still in a third world country? Like, let's move you forward.
You know, listen, if they didn't cancel the Beijing Olympics, where China has arguably a more egregious human rights violations record.
That's true.
Was, again, brought to light because we actually went there.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I hadn't thought about what you just said. And honestly, maybe this is a good thing. And maybe this also kicks Russia's butt a little bit, you know, gets them on having, because it's embarrassing for them.
It's a lot of bad press for them.
Well, here's 2 points. One is, does Putin really care? I don't think he gives a fuck what anyone thinks.
No, but the youth cares. Younger people in Russia.
Of how they're perceived.
Yes.
Second thing, tangential to all of this is, we always think of the Olympics as all this, you know, NBC carries the Olympics and it's pageantry and it's, the reason, especially with China, the reason why NBC bid so many billions of dollars to get the Olympics broadcast coverage had nothing to do with NBC wanting to broadcast the Olympics. NBC is owned by General Electric. General Electric, by kicking the door open to China with the Olympics and also in Russia, that then gets GE in there. They say, oh, you have to build all these stadiums. You need to build all this infrastructure. Well, let us sell you $100 billion worth of generators and heavy equipment and electronics and everything else. The Summer Olympics in Beijing was just a way for GE to open the door for their heavy industry to get into China's sector. So,
yeah,
kind of interesting when you think of these multinationals.
Doesn't China buy like two or three as the prototype and then they take it into a back room and make it themselves?
Not when it's dealing with like heavy turbines, the shit that only GE knows how to make and do. When you have to build stadiums, that's your calling.
This also though has to be a little bit of a headache for NBC that they have to deal with
all these
now.
Questions.
And now they're like, I saw George Takei on the always great George Takei. I saw him on MSNBC talking about how there should be a boycott of NBC's coverage of the Olympics.
And what did Maddow say?
Lawrence O'Donnell, who works for NBC, said, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
And he signed the petition. So there you go. Well, look, I was going to not watch the Olympics anyway, so this works out for me just fine. Well, in other world news, you're a meat eater? Do you eat meat?
I do eat meat.
She just had bolognese.
That's right. I forgot. I'm looking right at it. Well, there's a new burger that's been made that, you know, this is for the amount of money they're spending on it, which is $350 an ounce.
Yikes.
You would think this has got to be the finest of all meats.
It's like a caviar burger?
Yeah, exactly. Made out of the finest, like, what is it, Yaju Kobe beef steak? What is going on out there?
This is a burger, a test tube burger. It was grown in a lab using protein-rich meat strains cloned from cow muscles. So they've now cloned a hamburger, and they say this is the future of eating, mostly because we'll destroy the planet and we'll have no choice. But would you eat the test tube burger?
No, I don't want it. I don't need that. I will stick with regular meat. I don't care how much more expensive it becomes. I want food that I know is food. Yep. I'd rather be able to potentially actually butcher the animal myself, plan and prepare the food, make it myself. Like, you can't do that with test tube thingies.
Yet?
Well, you can't butcher. You can't butcher.
How often are you butchering
your...
But I'm learning.
You're learning?
I learned how to cut up a whole chicken today.
Oh, nice.
but it wasn't a live chicken.
No, but I'm not opposed to learning how to do that, too.
Well, I do think there's something about this might, at one point in human history, become the way we have to eat. They said the big problem is, and by the way, $350 an ounce now. I mean, this is because this was a big scientific
experiment. Yeah, people, remember how much VCRs cost when they first came out, or CD players.
But they said the big problem, because they had a bunch of, like, food critics taste it, and one of the issues they said was the lack of fat, that you need fat when you're in the meat to, like,
it doesn't have any flavor. Lean to the point of being bland. Now, here's my question. If you're a vegetarian, would you eat this? Because you're not killing an animal. It's sustainable. It's meat, but it really puts the vegetarians on the spot. Now, what exactly is your issue with eating meat?
Yeah, why is it that? Because they're like, oh, they're not like the taste. Everybody fucking loves the taste of meat. It tastes. What's the Dennis Leary line like? Because meat is murder, and murder tastes delicious, or something. Murder does taste delicious.
It does.
So, I mean, do you think a vegetarian would try be more?
I think a vegetarian is first and foremost more likely than not going to say absolutely not. I don't want anything made out of a test tube, in the same way that they want organic fruits and vegetables before they want anything that's been grown with chemicals. But you might be more likely to find a vegetarian who's like, oh, okay, well, it's kind of like soy, right?
Exactly.
I'll eat it, but I don't know. I think that's a little. I don't like soy either. It's
I mean,
weird.
And a lot of those, like, soy burger or veggie burger, I mean, those are all processed to hell.
Right.
So, by the way, it's not like.
It's not good for you.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm eating the veggie burger. You
go to Real Food Daily, some of that shit's probably worse for you than just eating a hamburger.
Well, soy in general is actually quite bad for you.
Yeah.
So. Too many people assume that, oh no, it's just not meat, so it must be good for me.
I remember a couple years ago there was a lawsuit against from shoppers of Whole Foods. Saying, apparently not everything at Whole Foods is healthy for you. They thought, because they're buying it, shopping at Whole Foods, everything just, you know, makes you younger.
Yeah, read and, some freaking labels, people. Don't be that lazy.
Yeah, Whole Foods never said everything here is healthy, did they?
No, they just said everything here is
whole.
Whole,
and
whatever
food.
That means. But you know
would
what?
Would you eat the burger? Would you?
I'd eat the burger. I've eaten a lot worse. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, it's getting to the point where having actual cows and raising meat in the way that we're used to is becoming less and less tenable. And I think in 40, 50 years, like, you will be eating this processed meat, and if you want to have, or this fake meat, and if you want to have a real steak, you're going to have to go to, like, Elysium or something. Like, it's going to be the only place to get steak.
Only the 0.111% on Elysium.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be more concerned with the fact that we are killing our environment and these things aren't sustainable anymore? Like,
right.
I'm more concerned with the fact that we might not have cows in 100 years. Well, that's not okay.
I think that's one of the reasons why they've invested so much money in this test tube burger, though.
This is not to end killing of cows, though. That's not what's
going
to
happen.
But I think,
in 30 years, McDonald's is going to be taking this fake meat, grinding it up with a little bit of real meat.
Do you
meat
not
and
think they already do that?
No, but, like, this meat that's grown in a lab as opposed to the shit and the hooves and the beaks and all that other stuff. I think that's what's going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're testing it out for them.
You know, I'd much rather this stuff than the terrible parts of the animal that they're, you know, and
already
the ammonia sprayed.
Pig assholes,
yeah,
that you're eating.
That they're putting in the burger. So I think this is a good thing, ultimately.
I think it's a good thing, ultimately, too. That said, as long as it doesn't get to the point where you have to live on Elysium to get a steak, I'd still rather have a steak from a cow.
Well, you're talking about first it's going to be test tube burgers, and then all of a sudden your whole meal is a pill. What?
All right, that saves me so much time. You kidding me?
I don't need the time. I love eating.
Nah, fuck it. It's a waste of time.
He would like that. He doesn't like eating. He likes eating, you heard him before, like, he'd rather just eat bland things.
Food is one of the great joys of life.
Food
is fuel.
You
have to really appreciate and enjoy taking the time to eat.
What's wrong with standing up at my counter?
You can do that, too. I'm not saying you can't. You can totally enjoy something that way. In fact, I think just yesterday I was eating skirt steak at my sink, and I'm just, like, ripping it like an animal, like, ah, yes, so
meat.
Good.
I do appreciate a very bloody steak, though, I must
say. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
See, what are you talking about? You're going to have a test tube steak? It's not going to be bloody. There's no blood in it.
Stop shattering my world, Shannon.
No blood in a test tube.
That's sad. I like blood.
So we've established this is a very bloody episode. Well, speaking of, like, you know, you're talking about animals, talking about cows. Maybe 100 years we don't have cows. I am not good with animals, but I like animals. I mean, this is like my cursing. Like, I like seeing animals and like, oh, look at this.
You go to the petting zoo often?
Yeah, I do. I do. I go to the zoo. I'm a card-carrying zoo member. I like knowing about animals. I find them fascinating. I'm just like, if a cow came up to me, I'd be like a little put off by it. But I'd be excited to see the cow. So, you know, little Will, when I was young, I mean, I loved zoos and aquariums and stuff. And I remember being a kid and going to SeaWorld. And, you know, you see Shamu. And who's better than fucking Shamu?
What I love is that Shamu died like 40 years ago. It's like Lassie. We just named them all Shamu.
They're not all named Shamu. You know, little Will was in awe of this, and I sat in a splash zone. I'm like, Shamu's going to splash me. I was, like, all excited. And, you know, and as I got older, I realized, you know, these are whales, and they're in captivity, and that is a little weird, because they're fucking whales, and they're gigantic. But I didn't think about it. You know, it's one of those things you block out of your mind, like, you know, because it's so horrific. Like, you feel cold, but like people who just, like, look the other way during the Holocaust, you know.
Okay.
This is me with SeaWorld for years. Well, there's a great documentary out now called Blackfish, and I went to go see it. It's one of my favorite films of the year so far. Really fantastic. And it's about... It's basically... Do you remember a few years back when that trainer was killed in the Orlando SeaWorld?
Yes.
It's basically framed by that case. Like, what happened here? And we follow the history of that whale, Tillicum. And there's a whale. He lived in some shitty little sea park up in Canada where he had killed someone before... mind you. But why did he kill this person? It gets into it. It gets into the psychology of the killer whales and all this stuff.
They're called killer whales.
Well, orcas.
They're in captivity. They don't want to be there.
I should say orcas. And it's not even so much... I mean, it is the captivity, but the reasons they trained in all these certain ways, and the thing with the woman who was killed in Orlando a few years back... The whale missed the whistle. The whale didn't hear the whistle that it had done a good job, so it did the thing again. But because it did the thing it was trained to do twice, it had done a bad job. It wasn't rewarded, and it got frustrated, and it started fucking around and killing her. And here's the problem. You can't put these whales in captivity. You can't keep them. They're too smart. You can't have animals this smart and that behave in this manner in captivity. It's disgusting. And little Will was betrayed by SeaWorld because you know what? The documentary gets into the fact that they lie. They lie about things. For example, they say killer whales live about 25 to 30 years. No, they live about 65 years. It's just when they're in captivity. So SeaWorld was even lying to little Will about the fucking facts about these animals. And that is why you, SeaWorld, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. You lied to little Will, and little Will is taking vengeance by calling you out here today. I mean, they're lying about things. Like the dorsal fins, how they're all flopped over. They say, oh, you know, 90% of killer whales, male killer whales. No. None in the wild the dorsal fins flop
only
over.
Only in captivity
only
does
in
that
captivity.
Happen.
And there's, it's not even 90%, it's 100% in captivity.
There's so much that SeaWorld has done that's demonstrated that they're doing something to actually hurt these animals as a form of entertainment for us that it's kind of shocking it's taken this long for anyone to really acknowledge it and notice it. Like, we got all crazy and upset about Ringling Brothers and,
with
you
the
know,
elephants, yeah.
All
those
of the
are some sad elephants.
They were sad elephants, and that was awful. But now we have some accountability. Now people are actually saying, you can't do these things to these animals. It's already bad enough that we keep them in zoos, trying to, you know, prevent them from becoming extinct, but also put them on display for you and me to see, because I'm never going to go to Antarctica and see a polar bear or a penguin or something. Like, come on.
If you see a polar bear in the wild, you'll probably be dead within 2 minutes.
I'm you know, it's funny because I'm put in a weird spot because I started this by saying I really like zoos. And I grew up going to the Bronx Zoo. I'm a member of the LA Zoo. And I've been trying to... I mean, there are differences with the whales.
Well, here's my point of view. Okay, here's my argument for SeaWorld and for all this.
For SeaWorld?
Yeah, I'm okay. Specifically about this. Yes, they're training these animals to do tricks. And yes, there's probably a lot of violence involved in getting these, you know, dolphins to jump and do multiple flips. But by bringing all these people to the park... And by having them see the dolphins and the walruses and the killer whales, you humanize them and you get that cute element. The same way that we don't like seeing puppies hurt, Now what happens is people leave, and then when there's causes like Save the Whales or Save the Whales in the Wild or Donate, I bet you if you looked at the amount of involvement and the amount of money and resources that has gone into helping existing populations in the wild, that has probably increased exponentially over the last 30, 40 years because of all the exposure these people have had to these whales in captivity. So if a couple whales need to have a little shitty life so that hundreds could have a better life out in the wild, there's a trade-off there.
Well, I'm kind of with you on some other animals, particularly like we were talking about zoos. Like, I do think it's
important. And zoos are different, I think.
Well, I do think zoos are the primary goal should be to educate and, like bring Little Will. Little Will sees a giraffe. Now Little Will cares about giraffes. But they do have to meet certain regulations that, like, even 20 years ago they probably didn't have. And if you go to a zoo now, like if you go to the LA Zoo and you see the gorilla habitat, also a lot of animals sometimes, like you mentioned extinction before, a lot of them do keep either hurt animals or they're breeding animals, like trying to keep the population
up. Is it our fault that the pandas don't want to fuck? You know, if they want to self-select themselves into extinction, fine by me.
No, I think we should.
They don't want to fuck in public, maybe? Maybe they need
a little
privacy.
No, but they can do it in privacy.
You know, I'm with you on zoos. I think they're actually a great thing, and it is a really wonderful way to educate our young people and everything. And I agree somewhat on in terms of exposing humans to what these animals are capable of and who they are and
majestic.
In the wild. But I have to wonder, how much has SeaWorld advertised helping the whales? And then you give money to SeaWorld, and where does that money go?
And here's the other thing with the whales. I will make the case
that orca tranquilizers.
That orcas are a little different because, one, they don't have the proper space for them. That's the other thing. I'm talking about zoos where they have tons of space. They don't have enough space for orcas. And the documentary really gets into the fact that because it's a matriarchal society, orca whales, that they put this whale Tilikum in with these two females and they just beat the hell out of him. And he's beaten and he's bitten and he's bloodied by these other whales because they don't have the facility to where he can just go away. Like in the wild, if the female killer whales had a problem with him, he could just kind of go somewhere else. You can't do that there. Also, whales are too fucking smart. That's the other problem. There are too... And am I grading the animals on some sort of curve? You're like, oh, the rhinoceros isn't as smart, so we could... But I am kind of that. The whale is too fucking smart. They communicate. And then
do dolphins, and you don't see dolphins killing trainers, but they aren't happy either.
They're not as big also. I mean, the whale is, you know, it's
tons.
I think
they have more space for dolphins, although they probably shouldn't have dolphins.
They probably
don't take away my dolphins.
I mean, considering how many dolphins they have, I don't know that they really have
more
space for
them.
But they're brilliant animals, and I'm surprised that they haven't actually been hurting or attacking people as well, because I have to wonder how frustrated they are to be held captive and to be told they have to do tricks just to get fed.
There was a great Onion headline a little while back says, "Dolphin tells all his friends how he got to swim with a stockbroker during his vacation."
I want to swim with dolphins.
Yeah,
I would do that.
All right, we'll go swim with dolphins.
If you ever have kids, would you bring them to SeaWorld?
Probably. I've been to SeaWorld on many occasions, and
it's magical.
It is somewhat magical. It's very exciting for the kids to see. Yeah, and that doesn't mean I wouldn't try to explain it on some very basic level.
So is global warming.
A child is a child, and they're not going to get all of that.
Right.
They just want to go to the fun park.
They just want to go to SeaWorld. They just want to see these animals do cool things. Like, I would also take
them to the San Diego Zoo
and show them all around, you know?
Well, I would definitely bring the kids to the zoo. Sean, if you had kids, would you bring them
to the zoo? Yeah, of course. I think denying a child something like SeaWorld is akin to forcing your kid to be a vegan because you have certain...
No, that is not even close. That is not even close.
I'm just saying, not that it's comparable, but it's like imposing a value system on a child that doesn't have the facilities to comprehend why.
But
like,
I think if the value system is these animals are abused, then I think that's a fine value to put upon them.
Fireworks in the San Diego night sky.
I'll be honest with you. I know you guys haven't seen the documentary yet. I don't think I could bring a kid to SeaWorld after seeing the documentary.
I'll take your
kids
to SeaWorld.
Would you take your kids to the circus?
I went to the circus a few weeks ago. It's pretty fantastic.
I used to like the circus as a kid. This is another thing I'm going to have to
Let me just tell you, those,
the
one guy got in the ring with like 12 tigers. I've never seen more dazed and sedated looking tigers in my entire life.
That's so sad.
It was pretty sad.
I might take the kids to the circus and I'm a fucking hypocrite.
All right.
But show me the documentary, the Ringling Brothers expose.
Ringling Brothers.
Another big thing is the circus isn't charging you like $45 a pop to get in, plus $20 for
it
a
ain't cheap.
Soda or something.
No, it
like
ain't
that.
Cheap. It's a Staples Center.
I remember I was in the circus when I was a little kid. Yeah, my dad.
Were you a clown?
I remember I went to the circus. My dad took me and my cousins to the circus. And in between, during the intermission or whatever they have.
Did they put you in a little cart and drive you around the rink?
Yeah. My father went up to the security guard, and he was talking to him. And I again, little Will wasn't sure what was going on, but I saw my father hand him money. And the next thing I know, we were in the circus. And we were going around. There were clowns dancing around, and there was, like, animals. We were like, well, look, we're in the circus. It was great. Wonderful childhood memory. We have dealt with some heavy topics in this episode.
Let's go to something light to finish off.
So, yeah, I always like to end on a weird note. And there was a mayoral election in the sleepy town of Dorset, Minnesota. And Robert Bobby Tufts was elected to his second term as mayor. Normally, this would not be a big deal, except for the fact that Robert Bobby Tufts is 4 years old.
How did he become mayor? Well, how did he get a second term already?
Well,
are there like four people in this town?
The town is made up of, I believe, like 28 people, and it has no formal government. So every year, they elect a new mayor every year, and they pick it from a hat. They get all the townspeople or anyone who wants to run for mayor, and how you go up there and you pay them a dollar. You don't even have to be a member of the town. Like, I could go there. I give them a dollar, and with that dollar, I could write a name and put it in the hat. And this little kid, this 4-year-old kid, he campaigned. He went up to people, like, put my name in a hat. And they would pay a dollar, and they put his name in the hat, and his name was in there a lot.
Dude, I would do that. That's a great resume builder right there.
So, basically, people, this is the future of democracy. You pay a buck, get your name on the ballot, and that's what you end up with. Mayor Poopy Pants.
Michelle Bachmann's from Minnesota. Any coincidences the way they run things there? That's
well, you also have Mayor Amy Klobuchar, who's one of my favorite senators.
Oh, and you also have Al Franken.
And Al Franken. So, you know, Minnesota kind of balanced themselves out a little bit.
They also elected Jesse Ventura as governor.
Minnesota may need to do a little soul-searching, is what we're saying.
But this kid, Bobby Tufts, he should be governor.
I heard he already pardoned 2 death row inmates as mayor of fucking Dorset, Minnesota.
Are you allowed to do that as a mayor?
Well, you know, when you're,
if you're
Bobby.
4-year-old,
man. Is this the beginning of his political machine? Is he going to be entrenched in power for the next 40 years like Tammany Hall?
I feel like this just has to be a joke. I mean,
really?
The town
it's a 4-year-old mayor.
A joke. It's a 28-person town. That's not even a real town. I've been to Minnesota, and I loved it. It's a beautiful little place. Very, very small, with the nicest people in the world.
Wait, so Minneapolis, or you've been to Minneapolis or to Minnesota?
I have actually been to Minneapolis, but no, I went to St. Paul, Minnesota, and I stayed there and wandered around. And
I heard it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's really lovely, but it's very, very tiny, and everyone is so friendly. I could see something like this happening, but I went to the biggest cities in Minnesota.
Exactly, it's a big fucking
twin
state.
Cities.
Actual cities. I didn't really think that they would have. How could you call a city? It's not a city if there's only 28 people. It's not a town.
It's a family.
It's a collection of people.
It's like 3 families.
That's just people living out in the middle of nowhere.
But you know what's going to happen? Flash forward about 14 years, and this asshole's going to get into Harvard because he's going to put on his resume that he was mayor of his town as a child, and they're not going to fact check it.
I will go there and campaign, too. I could be a mayor.
I could be mayor.
You show up in town in your true blood get up.
First, they'd propose marriage to you.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you'd be mayor.
You have to marry the town.
You have to marry Bobby Tufts. You could be like the good wife.
You should do what they used to do to you when you were in. You should do this. Yeah, and you can be the
I'm
first
not a
lady.
Of... though. I don't need to marry a 4-year-old.
Yeah,
it'd be a marriage of convenience. It's okay. You'd be like the Lady Macbeth of Dalton, Dorset,
the,
Minnesota.
The first lady of Dorset, Minnesota.
There we go.
You'll just be whispering in his ear. He'll be playing with his toys. It'll be like Game of Thrones. And you'll be telling him what to do.
I saw in the news story, the kid was, he got, even when he was campaigning, he would get very distracted easily. He'd be like,
he's
eh,
four. Something shiny moves and he's running away. A butterfly goes by and he's off.
Let me say this also. The mayor, it's the current mayor's responsibility to pick the name out of the hat, so he picked his own name out of the hat.
I'd smell a fix.
Scandal.
Scandal
that
adores
is a scandal
it.
Scandal right there. How can you, I think if you're going to do it out of a hat, you cannot be up for the next election, you know? Once you've gotten one term down, it's got to move on
we
to
we need
else.
Term limits in Dorset, Minnesota. This is unacceptable.
Well, okay, one last question about this. How long can he keep this going? Because at some point, it's not going to be a cute act anymore. At some point, right now, it's like it's still like, ah, the four-year-old, maybe even next year, or the five-year-old, the six-year-old. I mean, if he's like 16 and still pulling
this.
Oh,
no, he'll be done by eight.
Is he like Mubarak? He's just going to become a dictator and sees he's going to make us a mayor for life with unlimited powers over the army.
Yeah, so you said at eight, this stops being cute?
Well, I mean, he's not by 6 years old. He's adorable still, but he's like a six-year-old. By the time you're eight, you're not so cute.
There will be new four-year-olds in that town that will not remember a time when the town was not ruled by the iron fist of Robert Bobby Tufts. There's going to be four-year-olds. They're going to want their this is how you get up with political assassinations and coups.
We should book this kid for the podcast.
I think this is a script right here, actually.
The mayor of Dorset.
Call him, find out.
Get him on the show. We have him Skype in. I'm sure that will go over really well.
Yeah.
Be our finest hour. but speaking of finest hours, this has been a lovely hour, and we're about to wrap up. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we go, plug away one more time. Tell everybody one more time where they can find out about you.
You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/FinleyShannon, FinleyChannon. You can find me on Instagram at Shannon with a zero, CHANON, yeah, something like that. And Twitter, CHANON, and Tumblr, CHANONRF. .tumblr.com.
And I'm sure if they go to any one of these, there are ways to their links.
They're all linked together and all that jazz.
This is perfect. Sean, plug.
You can follow me at on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can also download and buy my book. Well, buy, download, and then read my book, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS, at Amazon Kindle. And I will be performing an essay, hopefully in the near future, at Tattletales.
Oh, no date yet.
No date yet, no, but just keep an ear posted, but I'll be posting a date probably in the next month or so, hopefully.
I saw you perform something. Me and Sean both performed an essay, not together, but separately, essays the other night, and your new one I'm a big fan of.
Excellent.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies for now. And
did you review Blackfish?
No.
Okay.
Ran out of time. I reviewed Elysium. I gave it a thumbs up, although it has problems.
Okay.
The story gets very muddled. But as an allegory, it works.
Well, that's what people go to the movies to see in the summer. They just want allegory.
And there's good action.
Okay.
There's visionary action. And good allegory. This film gives... Blomkamp gives good allegory.
Good. Sounds like the pornos I watch.
You can also read articles of mine at U1Can. Can, you know, like the city in France.com. On the show next week, Amanda Nix will be here. Who is Amanda Nix? She has created a new web series called Cat Assistant. And it's about her being the assistant to a cat.
We're going to find all about this.
Yes, it sounds very funny. I've been amused. I'm amused every time I talk
about it. My cat will be very interested
in this. Oh, yes. You also have a very very awesome cat as well. And
yes, my ninja kitty would be like, that's my bitch right there.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Tell Ninja Kitty to listen in next week, man.
Oh, I will.
Why cat assistant? Why not just call it pussy bitch?
These are questions
to
ask.
Yeah. That's a good name.
Maybe I'll blank that out.
No, you got to ask her about this next week, because if you don't, I am. also, the week after that, We're very excited. We have Jordan Robbins and Jolynn Braswell, and they are, you were talking about music, writing about music. They run a music blog called Badass Bands Blog, and they also book shows down at the Silver Lake Lodge.
Right, don't look at me. I hate Silver Lake.
And they book a show. They book shows there, and they're going to talk to us about some of the artists they have playing there, and it should be a very interesting episode. And I also realized that episode will be right after the Video Music Award, so if there's any music-related things that come from that, we have people who know music.
There's no music goes on the VMAs.
Wow.
All right.
And we got a big September plan. We're going to do our Emmy episode. We got, we're working on getting our good friend Nick Wexler to come back on right before the new season of Revenge starts. We got great shit coming.
And Mayor way. Bobby Tufts.
Mayor Bobby Tufts is going to be... We're going to have him and Nick on the same episode.
That should be interesting. Well, for the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
And I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.